Alrighty. Air conditioning, feel okay in here right now?
Yes.
That's good. We was telling everybody the weatherman yesterday said that Sunday the chance of rain was 87%. Today they're saying it's now 40%. So hopefully tomorrow it'll be down to 20.
Oh, is that for Sunday?
Yeah. But we may do the indoor thing anyway.
That'll be an experience.
What's that?
Yes, and that's what we're all about here, is just experiences.
What's the indoor?
Yes.
Means it's indoor. You'll have to come and see.
We flood the basement.
Yeah, we just fill up the basement.
Go swim in.
And once the baptism's over, everybody in. All right. Page 70 in your praise book. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen.
Amen.
Play that again. Yeah, I didn't have my mic. Yeah.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be.
That shout of the archangel's cry.
Amen.
Any moment now.
I sit and stare into the bright blue sky, praying for the shout of the archangel's cry, longing for a trumpet blast to rock this place, longing to fly past the moon and see your face. Oh, even so, come quickly. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired all day. Most men know the truth, but reject the way. Apocalypse of Jesus Christ will fix this mess. Meantime, I'm stuck on this earth under duress. Oh, even so, come quickly.
Seeing the holy angels. We're going to spend eternity surrounded by the holy angels.
Amen.
I believe the moment we die, if we're not raptured first, the angels are going to pick us up and take us home. So I'm all for angels. We're just not supposed to worship them. Amen. Let's sing about it.
My Lady
Son.
Oh, come, angels.
angels don't come to pick you up, you's in trouble. All right. Musicians may be seated. And the onliners can send your prayer requests into email bbfohio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand. Jenny will give you a prayer card. Collection at the end of the service.
Good.
In the meantime, our audio video crew will check the cameras and see if the sound's on first. All right, and then zoom them all in. Silence your cell phone rings. I don't know about you, but my cell phone is glad to get a break. But it doesn't get a break during services.
Nope. It's a working cell.
Yeah. All the mothers have a good Mother's Day.
Amen.
Yeah. It's like most things. Even if you don't get to spend time with your kids, you have the Lord. No matter what day it is, you have the Lord. And so there's a few people we know. I didn't get to spend time with my mom, but I went down Tuesday. Yesterday. Seems like yesterday. And had a little lunch with her and had a good time. Saw my dad too, of course. And did you have a good Mother's Day? I think you did. I was with you. That made it good, didn't it? Nice having some kids around, though. But still missing a couple that don't come around, so keep praying for them. In the meantime, angel worship. In your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, and we'll get right into that after our current events update. Please hold your questions and comments to the end of the current events update. Number one, evangelicalism is plagued with false professors and fakes. That's why I tell everybody, don't just go buying books by just anybody. Don't just listen to anybody that says, I believe the Bible. Satan quoted the Bible. If you don't believe me, go to Matthew 4, Luke 4. This is in the news today. Actually, it was a few days ago, but I just got the headline today. But Christian authors Jen Hatmaker and Mary Catherine Backstrom say they back Roe v. Wade. And you ever heard of those two? I've seen their books in the Christian bookstores, but one of them took... Lifeway took the one lady's books out. But two prominent female authors of Christian books have voiced their support for Roe v. Wade in light of the leaked Supreme Court opinion that suggests the majority of justices are in favor of overturning the landmark decision. Jen Hatmaker, she should go back to making hats, Mary Catherine Backstrom, each expressed support for Roe and legalized abortion on their respective Facebook pages this week, sparking a mixture of approval and pushback from followers. This is Jen Hatmaker. She does wear hats a lot, from what I've seen. She wrote, just to give you an idea of some of the books, if you see them out there, Fierce, Free, and Full of Fire, The Guide to Being Glorious You.
Now, that sounds great.
Yeah, you're going to find a theme. All these Laodiceans is that it's all about you. It's all about you. Simple and Free. Seven Experiments Against Excess, whatever that means. For the Love, Fighting for Grace in a World of Impossible Standards. All these guys preach, and I've heard some guys I like, but they'll use this thing called unconditional love. Unconditional love. I'm sorry, but you won't find that in the Bible. God died for the sins of the whole world. That means anybody can be saved. But if you want God's love, there's conditions. And anybody says otherwise is lying to you. Starts with repentance and faith. And even as a child of God, if you want to experience God's love in your life, there are conditions. God doesn't stop loving you as a matter of fact, but His love is not going to be experienced. There are conditions. And I don't know. I just hear these guys pushing this unconditional grace and unconditional love and all this stuff, and it's all psychobabble. She wrote another book called 7 Days of Christmas and another one called Of Mess and Moxie, Wrangling Delight Out of This Wild and Glorious Life. I'm sorry. It's just to make merchandise of people. It's just a bunch of mushy claptrap for people with mush for brains. That's what it is. I'm sorry, if you read that stuff and you enjoy that, you got mush for brains. You need to pray for God to give you, you know, a brain infusion so that you will desire truth. And listen, you want... I mean, there are plenty of good books out there. Read Dwight Moody if you want to read about the love of God. But he don't mush it up, and he don't turn it into psychobabble. Mary Catherine Backstrom, she wrote Mom Babble, which is probably true. The Messy Truth About Motherhood. Probably some good stuff in that book. I don't know. But I wouldn't read it.
She's supporting it.
She thinks it's okay to murder babies, so I don't want to read them. She's not a good mother.
No.
I don't care who. I don't care how much she loves her own kids. She ain't a good mother. Supporting the murder of unborn children? How do we know? How many she aborted?
Yeah.
Like Ronald Reagan
who
said.
Knows?
Yeah, do you ever notice that everybody that's pro-choice is born? Mm-hmm. You know, they're thankful that their mother wasn't pro-choice or pro-abortion. She also wrote this thing called Holy Hot Mess, which should be her autobiography. Unholy Hot Mess. I'm sorry, I don't have any. These women are making money, making merchandise of Christians. They're part of the end times apostasy. They are Laodicean, etc. Worldly women infecting fleshly professing Christians with Laodicean trash. And this is the Bible describes this, 2 Timothy 3:6-7. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. That's how these books get in there, through the internet, and they find a way into homes, and people give, you got to read this, sister. Oh, you'll love this. You know, that kind of stuff. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm just convinced that when someone will lap that stuff up like a sow, that's because that's what they are. Pigs returning to their vomit. I got saved out of that stuff. I don't want to hear it now that I'm a Christian.
I think you just mixed two metaphors there.
That's okay.
It's the dog that goes back to the vomit.
No, that's true.
The pig goes back to the
wallow. Yeah. Pigs eat vomit too, though. I've seen it. But the point is that before I got saved, that I'd go try to read a book. And I'd put it down because it was just, I think, ugh. And I thought, some of these guys, nothing against you women. I'm a man. I think our tastes are different in a lot of things. It's supposed to be that way. Men and women aren't the same. So I like to read a book about a guy getting his nose bashed in or something like that. Women are thinking, that's somebody's baby. So I read these, pick up these books and start to read them. And then a lot of it is just all about being positive. I'm sorry, but even before I saved, I had enough sense to know you can be positive all you want, but if you drive off a cliff, you're going to die. Power of positive thinking, it doesn't do you any good in real life. And then I'd become a Christian. I'd start trying to read Christian books, and there it is again. Number two, this is keeping it real. Inflation continues to make our money worth less. Grocery store prices are up 10.8%, the most in nearly 42 years. Since I was a baby, since Jimmy Carter. They don't say that, but it's Jimmy Carter who they're talking about. I was 8 years old when Jimmy Carter was president. Just when you know, some of you older guys are like, whoop, I was driving. And I was in. Some of the women having babies. Most in 42 years as Americans face higher prices on hamburger meat, baby food, chicken, bacon. Ah! Bacon. Soup and coffee. I'm sure tea is up there too, but these guys are probably just bigots and they didn't put mention. Yeah, in the UK, that was the headline. Is spa tea? Natural gas. How many of you have natural gas in your? I'm talking about your home. Natural gas prices soar. Jumped 9% in a day. The highest level since 2008, since another bum was president. How about gasoline? This is in California. Fittingly, the high price was $6.66. Can you imagine paying $6.66 for a gallon of gas? Interest rates. Interest rates on federal student loans is set to rise this year. They keep knocking it back so people aren't paying them off, but when it finally hits, it's going to hit hard. And it's not everybody who's getting that knockback, by the way. It's just certain people. Fed raises interest rates by 0.5%, the highest rate since 2000. All these poor people, poor young married couples trying to buy their first home and everything. Getting rough. You can thank anti-Trumpers and leftists for your miseries. Just find them and thank them. Say, thanks a lot. My paycheck isn't going hardly anywhere. And the guy you voted for is a senile reprobate. Yep. Psalm 146:3 said, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Amen. I was telling everybody, I wasn't big on board with Make America Great Again. I was on board with somebody stop the sinking ship. And that's what Trump was for 4 years. He didn't really get a lot accomplished, but one thing he got accomplished was keeping the leftists in this country from getting anything accomplished. Amen. So for 4 years, we were at least able to get some of the water out of the boat. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. Your current events update is the ship's going down. Pray the Lord keeps us afloat. Amen?
Amen.
I just think it's funny because for years we've been talking about how much worse can it get? Take a time machine back to about 1985 and tell everybody what we're doing right now in this country. They'd think you're crazy.
They would
want
to go back.
First,
Jim. Let's be honest, Greg. This is all Putin's fault.
Well, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. No, it's not Biden.
That's nothing. I mean, you see these people out there with these "I support Ukraine" guys with trucks, truck drivers with that. Now, the driver probably didn't put it there. The owner of the, you know, rig or whatever probably put it on there. I support Ukraine. I'm thinking. I guarantee you, if you ask them why, they couldn't tell you, except they sit there in front of that boob tube with their drool. Ugh. I support Ukraine. I support mean tweets. Mean tweets. I mean, it's just scary how stupid people are today. Who had their hand over here? Mary?
I wouldn't doubt if some of the protesters for abortion, the women, that they're paid, but then a lot of them, I think, you know, if abortion becomes illegal, they have to face what, like you said, they may have done themselves. And it's just like with people who get divorced, then if they have friends that are married, you know, and their married friends have trouble in their marriage, they'll start talking them into having a divorce because it makes them feel better about what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. We always mentioned, you know, abortion is a terrible, terrible thing, but God will forgive. And that's thankfully these protests going on. There are people out there telling these women, hey, if you've had abortions, God will forgive you, but he ain't going to forgive you doing what you're doing now and trying to kill more babies. Johnny?
It was good that you should have mentioned 1985, because it's right all the way down the parallels, all the way down to, as you may remember, in the first movie, they were talking at the fact that, what was it, Ronald Reagan was president?
Yeah.
Go back to 1985 and say, hey, Donald Trump was our president.
You go back to 1988 and tell them Joe Biden's president, and they'll think you're lying to them. Because everybody in America knew that Joe Biden was a nut job. Everybody in 1988 watched Joe Biden step down from his campaign for president because he was caught lying. He was caught plagiarizing. He stole other people's life stories and told them as though it was his life.
Wow.
A total whack job. And if you take a time machine back to 1988, don't even talk to a Republican. Just talk to Democrats. They'd laugh you out of the room if you told them Joe Biden was president. I mean, they wouldn't believe it. Charlie?
What was the excuse that they gave for the failure in Afghanistan? Because nobody talks about Afghanistan. And there were thousands and thousands of Americans and our allies who were left in Afghanistan. What was the excuse?
There really was no excuse. Our news media killed the story by talking about everything else, and then the White House just lied and act like it didn't really happen. You're exaggerating, Charlie. It wasn't really that bad. And what did happen was because of the way Trump left us in a situation, and if it wasn't for Trump, it wouldn't have happened at all. But that's what I'm saying is, how many people are going to sit there and ask those questions, Charlie? Most of the people in this country are drooling. They watch news. Oh, is that what happened in Afghanistan? I mean, that it is. It's like the Twilight Zone. It really is like the Twilight Zone. Doug?
Ask Biden and some of these liberals what was the last president, and they might say it is Brandon or Trump, because they don't even know.
You know, the idea that after Benghazi, they would run Hillary. I mean, that tells you how brain dead people are. All right, well, we could talk all night about that. Colossians 2:18. We'll get into our Bible study. Angel worship. And we will open with prayer. Give you a second to get there. 2:18. Everybody there? All right. Johnny, would you open the Bible study prayer?
No, okay. Dear Lord, thank you for just continuing to preserve things, but it's good, Lord, it's getting worse and worse every day. So we pray, Lord, you'll preserve this country with righteous people who will come in and hopefully at least put enough to slow down or stop these problems, at least until the rapture.
Yes.
Just pray you'll continue to take care of those who serve you, as you always have. Pray you'll bless the message tonight so we can learn and remember what we need to learn. And pray you'll bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, angel worship, Colossians 2:18. Millions of Americans and billions worldwide engage in angel worship. Big business, by the way. I'm not even going to get into that. We could have spent 15 minutes just talking about how much money there is in this. The Bible warns against being pulled into, it's called angelolatry. That's the real word. Angelolatry. So let's read about what Paul has to say here in Colossians 2:18. If you're there, read it with me. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And there's not a period there, but we're going to stop there because I don't want to get lost in other questions. But you see the phrase right there in the middle. He said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. So what happens is people confuse euphoric, drug-induced, and/or meditative experiences with being spiritual. And so then they think that they've actually had communications with... Now, sometimes it's just a departed... We talk about that in the near-death experiences. It can be a departed loved one. Others believe the Lord himself has shown up and talked to them. Other people, you know, will see Elvis or something. And then other people see angels. A lot of time, though, they take for granted it might be an angel. A lot of times, the Roman Catholic, most of the time, will say it was Mary. But then when you ask them, what did you actually see? They'll say it was a bright light. And so they didn't actually see an angel or Mary or whoever, but that's what they... And they confuse that. Millions of Roman Catholics pray to angels. How many of you know a Roman Catholic who prays to an angel? A couple of you? I bet if you know Roman Catholics, I bet you know some people who pray to angels. You just don't know about it. This is from the Vatican News website. If you want to pray to St. Michael Archangel, you pray, St. Michael Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the powers of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. You say, why do you read that to me? Because you need to hear that and understand how useless this prayer is, even if Michael could hear it. He can't throw Satan into hell. I mean, that's not going to happen. That's why I tell everybody, we all need to be careful with the way we word our prayers, because we ought to think about what we're praying. So when we're actually praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, you know, I'm not picking on anybody. I've done it myself, but you really shouldn't pray, dear Lord, save my fill in the blank, uncle, or save my best friend. Why? He ain't going to do that. He ain't going to be able to answer that prayer. He does not force anybody to get saved. You pray, Lord, my lost so-and-so needs saved. I ask that you, with your Holy Spirit, put them under conviction. Their need for salvation. Make them as miserable as you can. Everything short of death. You know what? If you know what hell is and you love that person, that's how you pray. But God's not going to ignore your prayer. I'm not saying that. But if you pray, dear Lord, save, you know. All right. Dear Lord, save Joe Biden.
Amen.
I'd love for that to happen. Amen. But God's not going to answer that prayer the way I prayed it. Because Joe Biden has to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for his sins, Amen. Was buried and rose again, Amen. According to the Scripture. So what do I pray? Dear Lord, put Joe Biden, if he's still got the brains available and he's not totally reprobate, please, with your Holy Spirit, put him under conviction so that he knows he's lost, he knows he's going to split hell wide open, that he might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I prayed that. I prayed that prayer a number of times. I prayed that prayer for Bill Clinton.
Amen.
When he was president. I prayed it since then. I prayed it for Hillary.
Amen.
I prayed it for Bill Gates. I prayed it for George Soros. Amen. I prayed it for people I actually know. Why? Because some of them I can't say I love them in a personal sense or anything, but I love them enough to pray for them.
Amen.
Jesus said, love your enemies.
Amen.
So pray for them. I think that's how Jesus wants us to pray for people like that, because Jesus believes in hell.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible.
Amen.
And I think a real biblical prayer is to anybody's lost, pray, Lord, do anything short of death to bring them to their knees. And if they get saved, I really believe this with all my heart, one day they're going to walk up to you or me and they're going to thank us for praying like that.
Amen.
Thank you for loving me enough to pray for me like that. I know some people who prayed for me like that, and I thanked them already. And there might be some others I didn't know about. When I get to heaven, if I find out somebody prayed for me like that when I was lost, I'm going to thank them.
Amen.
Thank you. You know why? Because here's the thing. We're all going to see hell. You know that? The Bible says we're going to watch people being cast into a lake of fire. So that'll make us get a little more serious maybe in this life. Preach the gospel while you can. Once it's over, it's over. You go to websites like this one. It's called Catholic Online. I think it's Catholic.org or something. Prayer to the Holy Angels. And it says, you who are mighty in strength and do His will, intercede for me at the throne of God. Stupid prayer. Ain't going to happen. You might as well just pray, you know, dear Lord, turn the angels into pigs and make them fly so we can see pigs fly.
Yes. Amen.
That's as dumb as that. And your unceasing watchfulness protect me in every danger of soul and body. Well, who are you talking to? I mean, it's got to be a particular angel that could do that because they're not omnipresent. They can only be at one place at one time. So I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but line by line, you go through that. Not only are these prayers sinful, wicked, idolatrous, but they're dumb. They're just dumb prayers. And then you can go find 44 other ones on this one website. 44 different prayers. You can pray to your friends, for your friends. You can ask your guardian angel to talk to the other angels for your friends. You can pray to all the angels and saints before Mass. You can just the prayer of Fatima, guardian angels, different prayers that you can pray. Just crazy. Then there's New Age religion. The whole New Age thing has sucked millions into worship and communication with what I'm saying angels, but what they think are angels. Obviously, they're not. Call on Your Angels by Claire Namah. How to release angelic blessing in your life. It'll release the devils of hell in your life, so it'll do. How to talk to angels. A practical guide to asking for guidance, comfort, and strength. Lucinda Gabriel. My Conversations with Angels. There's dozens of these books you can find.
Those two are all girls.
Well, there's one for if you want to read from a man. Spirit Guides. Yeah, he's a male feminist, yeah. Spirit Guides and Angel Guardians, Contact Your Invisible Helpers by Richard Webster. I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but I think it's a woman. Working with Archangels, The Path to Transformation of Power by Theolin Cortins.
I like that name.
One more just to show you. If you don't want to read a book, you can just buy the trading cards.
Yeah.
Angel Answers, Oracle Cards. Set of 44 cards where you can learn about the angel and how to contact each one.
Is that tarot
cards? Yeah, that's what I was saying.
No, they're not the same as tarot cards. Tarot cards are about telling your future. So it's still occultic. But these, you learn about an angel like a baseball card. You learn about the player. You see his stats. No. No, but they tell you how to contact the angel, which is dangerous. I mean, they ought to just say, legal and illegal drugs serve as conduits to angelic messages. A lot of people, when they talk to angels, it's because they're on dope. And it's not always, I said legal and illegal. Sometimes it can be medications your doctor prescribed for you if it puts you in an altered state of mind. Now watch this. Read his lyrics so you know what I'm talking about. That's a big hit. Black Crowes. Trying to be nice. Christians listened to that song thinking they were hearing something that was Christian. That's how totally void of any sense of discernment many Christians I know are. She communicates with angels while tripping on heroin. That's what the song's about.
He talks to angels, you know, about a girl that I kind of knew in Atlanta who was a goth girl who was into heroin.
Not a Christian song. But even if it wasn't about somebody on heroin, how can a Christian not know that you're not supposed to talk to angels?
Right.
How could you think that's a Christian song? I know Christians who think Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin is a Christian song. Jenny will tell you, one of the most popular preachers outside of evangelical Christianity in the world of the emergent church, I'm not even going to say his name, but we watched the first part of a documentary he put out where he's complaining about people like us. We're the problem. Oh. And he spent several minutes at the very beginning of this documentary about us telling how much he loved Leonard Skinner. I mean, not Leonard Skinner.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin. Yeah, it would have been a Christian film if it said Leonard Skinner. I'm just kidding. But Leonard Skinner is nothing like Led Zeppelin. Leonard Skinner had some drinking songs and stuff like that. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page bought Aleister Crowley's mansion. He's in a Black Magic. They wrote the lyrics mostly about the occult. Which way is Jesus going to return? Well, but he's coming from one direction.
North?
No. He's from the east. There's a feeling I get when I look to the west. And my spirit is crying for leaving. He wanted to get away from Jesus. That's Stairway to Heaven. I just figure one of these days I'm going to walk up on a Christian who thinks Highway to Hell is in the hymn book. That's how bad it's getting. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and what? And idolaters. Yeah, how many times you see those go together like that? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, here you go from the old Greek dictionary. Pharmakeias, translated that word, sorcerer. Pharmakeias. It's a drug, i.e. spell-giving potion. But look what the rest of it says there. It's not just illegal. It's not just buying something off the street from Chico. A druggist. Pharmacist. And then by extension, it says poisoner. By extension, a magician. Why? Because magic works best when the people who are watching it are high. They get people high and do this stuff and it freaks them out. Like, whoa, did you see that, dude? That's, of course, comedians like that, too. Their jokes are funny.
In there too.
Excuse me?
Whoremonger was like the, also basically in that three-set verse you just showed.
Yeah, and the sexual, sexual deviancy usually goes hand-in-hand with drug abuse. So, when you're dealing with, we just have to lay this out and get this settled. When you're dealing with anybody on this earth, any human being you confront, they either have the Holy Spirit or an unholy spirit in them. Because if they don't have the Holy Spirit, all other spirits are unholy.
Yeah. Amen.
The only thing that makes you holy is the Holy Spirit in you. Before you're saved, you had nothing but an unholy spirit, a sinful nature. You're a child of wickedness and wrath. And it's hard for people to get, you can't deal with people intelligently if you're not willing to deal with them realistically. And when I heard, how many heard this? You should always see the good in everyone. You're contradicting God. The Bible says there's none good. And even a Christian, if he's not filled with the Holy Spirit and living for the Lord at that moment, you're looking at somebody who's given over to their unholy spirit, their unholy natural sin nature. But do you realize that garbage has been taught in evangelical and fundamentalist churches for years and years and years? See the good in everybody. No, do them a favor. And it helps to confess. Tell them. But you got to start by getting them unsaved. They have to understand they're lost. And you start by, and you can, like I said, admit it to, hey, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal above you. I was a wicked, good-for-nothing sinner who deserved to go to hell, and the only reason I'm going to heaven now is because of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
And you are a wicked sinner who deserves to go to hell, and the only reason you'll go to heaven is if you accept what Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen.
But people don't want to hear that. They want to be told, you're wonderful the way you are. You're so wonderful. God died to save you because he just had to have you. That's how it's being preached. People are preaching it that way. That's not the biblical gospel.
No.
A lot of guys, when they start off to preaching the gospel, they say, you have worth. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God created man originally but with worth, but now you're fallen, you're lost, you're wicked, and you know what you're worth? Throwing into hell. But join the club. You can come down to my church, and everybody in there is the same. Was in the same boat as you before they received Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You can say that to all these wicked sodomites. They'll come up to you and talk to you and say, "You just think you're better than everybody." No. Don't throw that on me. I don't think I'm worth anything. I think I deserve. I should be in hell right now. That'll throw them. I tell you, it throws them because they think they know what Christianity is. They don't realize that we all believe if you're a Bible-believing Christian, I believe everybody here is. That includes Momo. He's got more sense than a lot of Christians, I believe. And you know what? You believe you are a lost sinner who's saved by grace. Amen?
Amen.
So next time some flaming liberal comes yelling and foaming at the mouth and everything, I stop him and say, wait, I should be in hell burning right now. I'm only saved because I received the free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. He'll save you too. Scripture with Scripture.
What was the verse right before that?
Revelation 21:8.
Thank you.
Let's review the clear biblical teaching on angel worship. Reading round robin as we close out the study. Raise your hand if you will read. John Allball, turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Mary, turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Jessica, turn to Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Charlie, turn to Daniel 10, 9 through 12. And Olivia, turn to Hebrews 1. I'm going to have you read 6 and 7, and then read 13, 14. Okay? And one last one here. Jim, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And I numbered them wrong, but that doesn't matter. Jesus clears up the question of worship very clearly for us. And that's where we're going to start in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Who's got that one?
Dad.
Dad, can you read that?
Sure can.
Someone.
Hello?
You're on.
Okay, Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Does that leave any stone unturned?
No.
Just worship God.
Amen.
Now, we're not going to go into detail. I just want you to understand that anything you do that is an act of reverence and adoration, which would include prayer, include singing songs to that person, adoring, I said adoration, any of those things are worship. And you're only supposed to do that for God. And if you think about it, I'm sure you know there's a lot of people who do those things for Mary, other saints, angels. The Hindus have their millions of gods. I think God thinks that about all these people who every day are adoring all the Hollywood weirdos. You know, all the entertainment and music people that they just follow them like. I know most of them that I've known are like that. They don't read the Bible much. They don't really follow the Lord, but they got all this time and effort to follow all the weirdos in Hollywood and all the you know, the music stars and all that. That's awful close to just being worshipful toward those people. If it's created, it is to worship God alone. Amen. So that's the easy answer. Flip side, the B side to the 45 there. The B side is, A side is, you only worship God. B side is, if it's created, it's not worthy of worship.
That's right.
So let's let Mary, by the way, never vice versa. Romans 1, 22 through 25.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So anything created that you worship, God tells you what He thinks about it right there. And like we said many times, homosexuality isn't what brings the judgment of God on a nation. Homosexuality and the whole gay rights, sodomite stuff is the judgment of God. Angels are created beings, and we are not to worship the created, only the Creator.
Amen.
Yeah, Doug?
What Mary just read is actually prophetic, because that's what is going on today. The animals are more important. I mean, I love my animals,
yeah.
But they're more important than God.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole animal rights thing is going off the deep end, and you're right. Jesus clears up the question of worship. I think that was supposed to say something else, and I forgot to change it. Revelation 22, 8 and 9, Jessica.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
She's basically saying, I'm just like you, I'm created. Worship God. Holy angels do not allow anyone to worship them. See, if you're worshiping an angel and you're praying to that angel or burning in a candle and adoring or whatever it is, if it's a holy angel, it won't receive it. Biblical communication by holy angels. This is how it works. We pray to God.
Amen.
Okay? This is how it starts. I don't know why my thing isn't working. God sends an angelic dispatch. Now, I believe that happens all the time. We just don't see it. Amen? We've studied that before. And what? Angels rarely verbally respond. So we pray, God will send His angels, but they will rarely ever talk to you. That's important to get. Angels never respond to human-initiated communication. You won't find a single place in the Bible where a human called out to angels and they responded. It's always you pray to God. He'll send the angels. Most of the time you won't even know what they're doing or when they're there. Rarely He will have an angel speak. And if an angel does respond to your initiated communication, it's a fallen angel. if you ever call out for an angel and it responds, better run. Rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Here's one prime example when an angel visited Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 10, 9 through 12. Charlie, got that?
Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words.
So he's speaking to God here. Daniel speaks to God, and then the angel is dispatched. And this is one of those rare occasions where he did then talk to Daniel. God heard Daniel's prayer and dispatched the angel. That's the order. There isn't a single example of God's people initiating communication with angels, as I already said. Angels are ministers and not to be ministered unto. If an angel, people say they see a light and they think it's an angel, and it says, do this for me. That, and the same thing would be true if God were to send a saint back. You know, when Moses and Elijah came and Peter offered to build tabernacles, what'd they do? Ignored him. Remember that? But these Marian apparitions, Mary shows up and she tells them to do this and to pray to her and to love her immaculate heart and all this stuff. Never, never the way the angel in the Bible works. So Hebrews 1, 6 and 7 and then 13 and 14, Olivia.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See now how clear it is? Even when ministering to saints, they are serving the will of God. They're not responding to the desire of the saint. They're serving the will of God, and they're the ministers. They're not being ministered unto. All of our prayer is to be directed toward one person. Jim, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Of course, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're never told to communicate with anyone in heaven except for God. Amen?
Amen.
Just yesterday or day before, somebody in the BBF MeWe group shared a post from another social media site where this woman was saying, people are always saying that Catholics worship Mary and the saints, and we don't. And that was her answer. And the response is you pray. First of all, that's you don't even have to talk about the other things. You pray to Mary. You pray to the saints. That's an act of worship. And the Bible says you're only to pray to God. And then they'll give you this reason. Well, we believe that by reaching Mary, we have a better chance of getting the word through to Jesus so he can go to the Father. Because you know what it's like. This is what I've had to do. And you actually find this explanation in Catholic books. You know how it is. When you really wanted something from your dad, you'd go to your mom first. My dad, I'll admit that probably was a few times I went to mom and mom talked dad into something. I love my dad, but he's not God the Father. And he has told me I don't need to go through any mother. I can approach him because of Jesus. Why would you trade that off for having to go through Mary or, you know, some saint? It doesn't even make sense. It's because of they're of the flesh. People of the flesh do fleshly things. Sounds spiritual. Oh, he prays to Michael and he prays. I mean, I think it was in the elevator they prayed to St. Jude. Why not just pray to Jesus? It's just a very maddening thing, but God keeps things simple. Amen? Actually, we should say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad God keeps things simple?
Yes.
We don't have to go through all this, you know, these religions always come up with all these steps and all this rigmarole you have to go through. And God's come down in the person of Jesus Christ and said, this is how you reach the Father, is through the Son. If you any man comes through the Son, he'll reach the Father. He says it different ways, and it's always the same thing he's saying. He says it different ways. Kept it so. And Paul said that he feared for the Corinthians that they would be removed from that simplicity. By what? By all this religion. And I've talked to so many people who are so impressed with religion. And if they come to a church like ours, that's what they don't like about it, is it's too simple. It's too basic. Why? Because they're of the flesh. And they want to feed that flesh. They want the experiences. They want to feel. They want to feel something. And when, you know, they love looking around and seeing the art and the statues and the incense burning and, you know, the chanting. And that never appealed to me. Well, and that's another version. That's the charismatic idea, you know, that the charismatics go and they want all that other experience. But it's always, you know, getting away from the simplicity of the Scripture, it's always, they think it's spiritual, but it's not. It's physical. It's flesh. They're feeling something in their human body, their human emotions. And we avoid error with simple obedience to God's Word. Amen? So that ends our series on angels in the spirit world. And I think we have 17 studies. Our next study, the book of Amos. And we'll start that next week, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Amen. All right, let's close with a song. Give Grandma a second to get her guitar. Page 28 in your praise book. She didn't want to leave Grandma until she saw the phone. Ooh, phone. This world is not my home. And, you know, whether we're talking about the stuff in the current events update or we're talking about religion and how everything's going, this song comes to mind many times. So glad that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Stand if you can. Let's sing it.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. saints in glory land are shouting victory. One day I'll join their band and live eternally. I hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord,
onliners. Just a reminder, if you tune in, we're possibly, I'd love to be able to live stream that baptism Sunday, but I don't, because of the way the building is, it blocks the signal here. So we will try to go ahead and videotape that and have it up sooner than later. But everybody online who's a local, if you weren't able to make it tonight, if you see this, remember, T-shirts.
Amen.
Wear your T-shirt Sunday. And for everyone else, let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three.
See you here, there,
or in the air.
Bye, guys.
Today is just the 11th, isn't it? Yeah. So we're doing real good.
Today would be my mom's birthday.
Oh, I lost it.
I wonder.